When you experiment with cut-ups over a period of time, you find that some of the cut-ups seem to refer to future events. Well, we went on to exploit the potentials of the tape recorder.
Now, back to modern times.
Tapes, tape recorders.
Cut up, slow down, speed up, run backwards, inch the tape. That means work it back and forth across the tape head.
Hey, girls. Move a little closer.
Play several tracks at once. Cut back and forth between two recorders.
Copyright infringement. Piracy.
Oh, no, I pressed the wrong button again.
Sample. So cut-ups put you in touch with what you know and do not know that you know.
Exquisite Corpse, Thursday, 7:30 to 9 p.m. on the mighty CITR Radio 101.9, Vancouver.
This is not all rock and roll, dude.
All right, welcome back to the show. So, Stephen, you guys just got back, you and Fond of Tigers just got back from a tour of the East and Vancouver and Victoria.
Yeah, well, we played in Montreal, Toronto, Guelph Jazz Festival, London, Ontario, Toronto again. We did a thing at CBC Studios in Ottawa, and then we played Victoria. So Vancouver, our Vancouver show is this Friday.
This Friday with Secret Mommy.
With Secret Mommy at the New Forms Festival.
Which you've been curating for?
Yeah, I curated this coming night, so yeah. I picked my own band and another band, so Secret Mommy, and the it's kind of a conceptual night. The whole theme of the festival is mosaics, so different curators are thinking of that different ways, and I don't really know what anybody else is doing. You can go to the New Forms website to find that out, but we're basically taking our music from the last album, Release the Saviors, and some of Secret Mommy music from plays, breaking it all up into little chunks, rearranging it into two new pieces, and each band will play one new piece based on all these.
And you're doing this all live?
All live, yeah.
Oh, that'll be amazing. So where is the show?
It's at Open Studios, which is at 252 First, at West, East First.
By Main?
Yeah. I should figure that out if it's East or West. It's just east of Main. On First, and it's called Open Studios. Again, if you go to the New Forms Festival website, all will be revealed.
Cross-pollinations, I said.
Cross-pollinations, yeah.
Cool. And it's at what time?
It is at, doors are at 9:30 or 10. The show will be going from 10 onwards.
All right, cool. So you want to play something now by Secret Mommy?
Yeah, I was hoping to just kind of get something happening there. So I've got my little thing there. So I don't know really which song to play or which song Andy would want us to play, but...
Are they from Vancouver as well?
They're from Vancouver as well. So their aesthetic is kind of fairly cut up. Basically what happened with this album Plays is that Andy did a lot of recordings of people just playing acoustic instruments, and then chopped all that up, rearranged it, built this record out of it, and then got a band to learn the music from that he assembled for the record, and now they're playing it. And so it made sense for me to pick them to do this kind of chop-up live thing as well. So,
that's great.
So this is one of the songs that they that we chopped up some material from. So there'll be little bits of this being played by each band at some juncture on Friday.
Awesome.
Press play?
Yep.
Here it goes. This is Grand About the Mouth from Secret Mommy's Plays.
Thank you.
All right. So that's your secret mummy. So Stephen, we are going to be playing another track from you here. Actually, I want to talk about something here. You opened for the Grandmothers for the Vancouver Jazz Festival. How was that?
How was it? It was great. I mean, it's good to get opportunities to play with, you know, really established artists in a massive venue.
Yeah.
So both the last couple of years, the Jazz Fest has asked us to do that. Mm-hmm. This time, there's a major sort of generation gap between them and us. So there was a very different crowd than...
There was a mixed crowd.
There was a really mixed crowd. But it was good. At first, when they first started playing, I thought it was a really strange mixture. But as they went on, I thought their show was great. It was really engaging and interesting.
Definitely engaging.
Yeah.
Really well put together.
Yeah.
Were playing some music that I wasn't familiar with yet when you guys were playing. So is there an album coming out? Or?
Yeah, there is. We have to record it first. Well, actually, the recordings for the release of Saviors, we recorded, and the recordings for A Thing to Live With, we basically always record about two albums worth of material.
And then you cut.
So lots of songs just get kind of pushed over, like a couple. Mm-hmm. There's one song on the new one, which was recorded during the last session, and we re-recorded it, but it just didn't make the first record.
Mm-hmm.
So this time we've got a few really kind of catchy songs that didn't make this release of The Saviors. So the record was maybe going to be a little more short songs and catchy and happening, but we kind of made it sprawl out. There's also lots of improvs that we recorded. So we could technically put out a record right now if sort of money and album art was no object. But these things take a little time. But right now we've kind of swelled to well over an album worth of material without even doing any improv at all.
Yeah.
So we're going to record probably in January. And put it out by April.
Okay, maybe. That'll be cool.
There's a lot of stuff. We just before we went on this tour, we did a little retreat, like a little 2-day tiger retreat, and we just tried to get some new material happening. And we came out of there with 3 new pieces, plus worked on this new forms piece, which took a lot of the time because it's pretty counterintuitive.
Yeah,
the new forms piece. So.
Where did you guys go?
One of the drummers, Sky Brooks, he lives out in Mission.
He's got this
beautiful property.
That sounds nice.
Yeah, so we just sort of holed up in there for 2 days.
It's a good idea.
It's a really good idea, because how busy everybody is, and it's hard to book things in the city and get people
And you're
to
really
focus.
Focused, you're dedicated for the time period. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of our music takes a really long time, and it's very frustrating, so going out to where nobody can escape, it's kind of like...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Cool. And you were talking about album art, and didn't you do the artwork for the first album?
Both of them.
Yeah. So you do have some visual art kind of stuff going on there too.
Sporadically.
Yeah.
Yeah. The visions come to me.
That's good. That's great.
I usually go through life and just a non-visual, just hearing mutterings in my head, and suddenly
Awesome. Okay, well, so what do you want to play next year?
Well, I guess since I was talking about some of the recordings that didn't make it, I've got a couple of improvs that are from the Release the Saviors recording session.
Do you want to put that on right now?
Oh, we could.
Let's not talk about it? Sorry.
No more talking.
Okay, let's just play it.
Thank you.
All right. Welcome back. So that was an improvisation by Fawn of Tigers. And improv is a huge part of your music, obviously. In terms of live shows, how much improvising do you like to do in a live show? And, you know, stuff that you have recorded already?
Yeah, it varies from show to show. Sometimes it's pretty hard to get it happening in a really loud place or in certain kind of contexts. Mm-hmm. So sometimes the shows are definitely more composed and kind of more of a rock show. And then in other contexts, it works better to do a bit more improv. So it kind of depends on how comfortable we are and how much time we have and mm-hmm. stuff like that. Because improv is really hit and miss. Well, no.
Well, because you're working on the
moment,
right?
We're really good at it all of the time. It's always really good. I'm happy with every single moment of every piece of music I've ever played.
Well, whatever happens, happens. It's improv.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah. I like improvising in the studio because you can really just sort of not have to worry about any other sounds other than the ones that you, as a band, are making. You mm-hmm. don't have to hear people's cell phones going off or mm-hmm. hear them talking about their cell phone plan or something like that, which, you know, when you're at a club, there's all kinds of stuff going on.
Yeah.
And when the point is to try to listen really hard, and then all you can hear is, you know, what you usually hear in a rock club, it's pretty difficult. So we do work in stuff with the music where certain people are playing the composed music, and some people have quite a bit more freedom to improvise. So parts change all the time. We improvise structurally all the time, you know, as far as like changing cues and changing dynamics and moving mm-hmm. things around just by kind of cueing. So it's sort of improvisation and sort of kind of directed structural reconsideration on a constant basis.
A healthy blend.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. And you yourself do a lot of improvising with other musicians also around Vancouver. A lot of them go through Jesse Zubat's Drip Audio label, right?
Yeah, well, right. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry, I interrupted.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Yeah, I go through phases of improvising with people. I can only do it so often and so much because you start losing something if you're always just improvising with lots of random people. Mm. I actually find the context of a band who work together a lot more satisfying.
Because you can play off each other.
Yeah, and you start to get to know things. And,
yeah. Sort of telepathy.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. Or you just learn each other's tricks. And you're
yeah.
like, I knew you were going to do that. No, that doesn't really happen a lot. But yeah, pure improv can be a wonderful thing, but it can also just, you can lose all track of reality if that's all you do.
Yeah.
But yeah, I improvise with people at intervals. It's true. and there are a lot of people, the Drip Audio really kind of houses a lot of creative creative musicians in Vancouver, improvisers and composers. There's a lot of composition on that label.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool. And how about, okay, so this tour, you want to play something next by Sandro Perry?
Yeah, well, when we were out there, we actually played with Sandro twice. He opened for us in Toronto. He did an improv kind of noise electronics set as Offworld. I think it was their first show. But then we also traveled to Ottawa to do a thing for the CBC, which was mm-hmm. a collaboration between Sandro and us.
Oh.
So, yeah, we worked on a couple of his songs, a couple of our songs. He did some singing on one of our songs, which...
doesn't happen very often.
Doesn't happen.
In this sort of sphere, I find.
Yeah, it doesn't happen that often, but it's a song that I actually... We recorded for the release of The Saviors, but I wanted to leave it off because I always thought there was something missing, and I thought vocals were missing. And I'd been trying to do some vocals, and I, you know...
Oh, that would be a really new thing.
But Sandro did an amazing job, so hopefully he will be on the next record doing vocals on that track. So...
All right,
that will be available. CBC is going to put that up on their website and play it on the Signal probably soonish.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, I thought we'd play just some Sandro Perry music. There's a song, Sky Histoire, which he suggested that we do for the Fuse taping, but we didn't get around to it. We didn't have time. So let's just hear him do it by himself, I guess.
All right.
Thank you.
So that was Sandra Perry's song Sky Histoire from his album Plays Pulmo Pulpo, which came out in 2006. He's a Constellation Records guy.
All right. Indeed.
Cool. So now I wanted to talk to you a little bit about venues in Vancouver, because I know you have a lot to do with organizing things like 1067 and stitching and unstitching. Is there anything else that you...
No, that's enough, isn't
it? That is a lot.
It's been busy. I used to work at another venue that I used to work at the Sugar Refinery, which everybody's like, when people talk about these things, everybody, you know, sheds a little tear for the Sugar Refinery. So, yeah, I've been present at a lot of frustrating situations throughout the history of Vancouver, kind of like a tragic religious scene where there's a figure off in the left-hand corner just kind of observing and maybe wearing a monk's tunic or something like that. Things like you wanted to talk about venues?
Yeah, well, I just want to know your opinion on, like, how easy is it to set up a venue, for example, or... what are some frustrations with that? Or what is your favorite venue in Vancouver? Things like that.
Well, in a lot of ways, 1067 is my favorite venue because when we're doing shows there, I feel really comfortable there. And we're sort of in control of it. And I find it sounds good. Or at least it sounds good for what I want to hear while I'm playing. I just feel comfortable there.
Mm-hmm.
So it works, but the frustrating thing is it's not the sort of place that you can feel comfortable thinking that it's going to be there for a long time because of pressures, external pressures.
Yeah.
So I would say that's kind of my favorite venue. I would love it if there was a mainstream venue that allowed for a great deal of different kinds of music and art to exist, and that
something that could actually lacking function.
And people try, but there's just a lot of obstacles mm-hmm. to it. And the situation recently with the Biltmore shutting down for a little while there—that was frustrating because it was a pretty minor. It sounded to me like a fairly minor issue. The stage got moved out a foot, and that wasn't in the plans, and they got shut down.
We got a phone call. Can we see who it is?
Sure. Could be a wrong number.
CITR. Okay.
They're gone. It's still flashing. It's very bright.
I know, I don't know what I'm doing. CITR. Oh. Oh, hello. Yes, I am on the air. I'm going to go. Sorry. That's a friend of mine. Sorry.
Yeah, so I was talking about professionalism and... I'm just joking.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to have to call her back later.
I mean, we can all wait here. I mean, I'm okay. If it's something that's important, we can do this.
I think I had, like, a lobotomy this morning, and no one told me. Like, I showed up at school and was like, what? Monday?
Most lobotomies happen late Sunday night or in the early hours of Monday, so...
Yeah. It's tragic, really. Anyway. Do you want to... Let's play a song.
Okay,
I think
sure,
we should do that.
Did your friend want to hear anything? Or nothing in particular? Okay. Well, how about... Let's see what is on the... you were asking about stitching and unstitching.
Yeah.
So that was a series curated by me and two other musicians, Jeff Younger and Russell Schulberg. So we were doing that at also a kind of non-official venue. We did it on a weekly basis and found it a little difficult to maintain on a weekly basis. So we took the summer off and we're coming back with a series of shows at different venues. So we're going to do one at the Western Front, which is a legitimate venue, and so the show will happen, and we know that there's certain infrastructure in place there. What I was going to say about venues is that people that try to do legitimate venues have so many obstacles. There's so many problems with minor issues that could be overlooked by the city or could be worked with the venue. But instead, people have just so many obstacles that they shut down or they just discontinue the venue. Meanwhile, people go to see shows at, you know, absolute death traps, because people will go to see shows. I went to see a show a few weeks ago, and, you know, it's down this rickety staircase into basically a mausoleum where if anything went wrong, everybody would be dead, you know? So these minor quibbles that shut down venues.
The bureaucracies.
And then the alternative is everybody's just still going to get it. They're still going to get their music
fixed. Well, you can't stop people from...
Yeah, but it's just going to be in death traps. Yeah. So, not that we were doing stitching on stitching in a death trap, but we are just bringing it to a few other venues for various reasons. We're also bringing up some musicians from the States to play. Capillary Action from Seattle are going to play.
Yeah, they played at 1067 last year, didn't they?
Yeah. So it'd be nice to bring them up to a legitimate venue where we can advertise, maybe get some word out in the press. Because you can't really say anything about illegal venues. You can't say, here it is, and come on down, you know?
Yeah.
So it'll be good to have them there. I'm also going to play that same night with an improv duo that I have, which is called Collapsing Lung, which might have that on the. Yeah. So Collapsing Lung is me and Lee Hutzlack from Dixie's Death Pool. And it's just pure improv, and there's two of us. It's quiet, kind of ambient improv.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to play the next Stitching, also Capillary Action. There'll be a big band of Vancouver improvisers called Nocturnal Puddle Transmission.
Oh.
And also Alessandro... I'll get his name after the break here, but you see how prepared I am. But
so what are we going to play for Collapsing Lung here?
You can play any, just play anything. It doesn't matter to me.
How about Swander?
Swander, sure.
Swander.
Thank you. Are you a UBC student taking first-year economics, math, chemistry, or physics?
That stuff is hard.
Are you feeling like you need some tutoring? That's okay, because the AMS offers free and appointment tutoring for students in these subjects.
Whoa! How does it work?
It's on a first-come, first-served basis, and there's no need to sign up. Just show up with your books and your questions.
Whoa! When does it happen?
Monday to Thursday from 3 to 7 at the Sub Pacific Spirit Cafeteria, located beside the Starbucks.
Whoa! A+, here I come.
All right, welcome back to CITR. We've got about just under 10 minutes left for the show. After me, stick around, because at 5 o'clock we have News 101, and then at 5:30 there's Career Fast Track with Philip D., followed by Some Sound with Henry S. at 6 o'clock, and then 7:30, Radio Free GAC with Gary K., The Jazz Show at 9 o'clock, followed by Vengeance Is Mine at midnight with Trevor Fielding. So we've got Stephen Lyons in the studio for an interview, if you've just tuned in. So, and we're going to finish the show with a pretty powerful Fawn of Tigers song, right? Is there anything else you want to mention before we finish?
I guess, well, I should just mention again just the show this coming Friday, the New Forms Festival, Fawn of Tigers and Secret Mommy. So people can go to the New Forms Festival website and get directions to it. It's probably a good idea to buy advance tickets for this one, because they're cheaper and they might sell out, hopefully. I don't know.
How big is the venue? I've never been to.
It's, you could fit a couple hundred, 300 maybe.
Yeah,
in
there. Great. That's good.
Yeah, there's going to be visuals as well by Ross Birdwise, and I've seen a little bit of what he's working on, and it's really intriguing. We haven't ever really done a lot with visuals, because it's a pretty big undertaking, but I think he's up for the challenge, so I think it's going to be a really good show. So that's at Open Studios at Main and First, on First. So, I don't know, just Google New Forms Festival. Should be newformsfestival.com, I think.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah, I think it starts with 2008 and then dot newforms. Anyway, Google away. So that's all I kind of really need to mention. The next song is actually probably twice or three times as long as the rest of the show, so it's going to be partial.
So get the album, guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Just get the album. It's a teaser.
Yeah, the trailer for...
So this is from Release the Saviors, and I'd like to thank you for coming in today. It was a great show and
good interview,
and good luck with your show on Friday and with the new recording or whatever you guys are going to do next. And this song is called...
A Long Way to Temporary.
All right. So thanks for listening, you guys, and tune in next week.